We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Tonight, it's Mr. Overnight, Big Ben Maller.
Let's get it going with Ben Maller.
Late night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, bad news for some, I guess good news for others, depending on how you look at it. Isn't that the story of life? The Red Sox rained out. I figured you probably realized that by now. If you didn't realize the Red Sox game was rained out, then bad job by you. But I was supposed to come and do Red Sox review here, do a recap of the Red Sox game with the Tigers, but there was no Red Sox game with the Tigers. No need to break down the game that was not played. So Chris Sale and friends, they pushed back, and they will have a day-night doubleheader on Tuesday. You'll hear all the action right here on WEEI. So the first game at 1 o'clock, and Chris Sale, I believe, will start game one. And then game two, the nightcap at Fenway. So in the spirit of playing the hits and being on the pulse of the people, which occasionally I take credit for, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, but we're going to attempt to do something which is, I would qualify this as unorthodox is what I would do. But I've only done this. I've been here off and on a couple of years doing stuff at night occasionally when they let me in the building here. And only twice in the 2 years, roughly, that I've been doing some shows at EEI on a regular basis, I have attempted to talk about hockey. The reason I have not done too much hockey conversation is because it's not normally my thing, right? I'm not a hockey guy, and so I rarely discuss the hockey on the radio. I'm much more of a meat and potatoes type of guy. And I know from learning from Master Callahan in the morning, some of the other guys there, that generally outside of the rare and appropriate time, not a good idea to get too far into the weeds or the boards when it comes to hockey. Like I know the NFL's king, and it's NFL draft week. That's a big deal. Even though the Patriots will probably trade out of the first round and draft somebody you've never heard of and get a bunch of fourth, fifth-round picks and things like that. The NBA Plus. I love talking about the NBA Plus. It's on my list. We're going to talk about the Celtics later. I know you're fascinated about that. I'm watching I'm on my monitor here in the studio. I have the Bucks-Pistons game, and Milwaukee's now ahead, which will set up this weekend the Bucks and Celtics if the Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo holds on. And baseball, I don't mind talking about baseball. I like talking about baseball. But let's attempt to go to what is often Radio Siberia for me. And that would be talking about puck. Now, that is how much reverence I have for Game 7 in any sport. Game 7 in any sport, right? Single elimination, bring it or you're dead. It's over. And while, again, I am not hockey boy. I don't have it in my DNA. I did at one point before I became the bloviating late night, overnight to gas baggery expert that I've become, if you want to call me that. Some have. I did cut my teeth for years. I was a radio stringer early in my career. And I actually at one point covered Wayne Gretzky when he was washed up, an aging Wayne Gretzky with the Los Angeles Kings at the end of his run there, and I'm still bitter. Here's how I hold grudges. Let me tell you how I hold grudges. I am still bitter about Wayne Gretzky giving me the cold shoulder. The Kings traded him to the St. Louis Blues in 1996. That's 23 years ago, and I was working at the time for the flagship radio station of the LA Kings. It was kind of a big deal. And so I thought, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Gretzky on. It was going to be a big interview and all that right after the trade. And Gretzky blew me off. I'm still upset about that. He's retired. He's been retired for a million years, and I'm still bitter about it. All right, but let's go to the Komodo Dragon in the room in the Magic radio box for the second consecutive year and the third time in as many postseason matchups, the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs taking it to the very edge, trying not to fall into the abyss here in game number 7. I was listening earlier, OMF, some of the other guys talking about this on WEI. But the winner of Tuesday night's game will drop the puck just after 7 o'clock. We'll have a date in the Eastern Conference semifinals with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, this is not a bad thing, right? You want this. If you had said before the playoffs started, as little as I know about hockey, if you had said the Bruins get by the Maple Leafs and they get Columbus in the second round, you said, wait a minute, no way, there's no way. But the Bruins earned the right for a Game 7 because they had that wild, wacky Game 6.
Black and gold.
Yeah, you got to bleed it, man. Of course, if you bleed black and gold, you might want to see a doctor.
Yeah, it's probably not a good thing.
Right, Joe? I mean, that's a problem. I mean, if there's black and gold coming out of your insides, that's a problem.
Technically, isn't your blood supposed to be blue or purple before it actually hits oxygen?
Good question. Yeah, like it does change colors, right? The idea that blood is red, it's because of the oxygen, right? That's good. Did you ever take a medical class in school, Joe?
No. I failed biology in high school 2 times. Then a substitute teacher came in and gave me 2 A's.
Yeah. See that, and you went to radio, and
oh yeah, it's way easier to talk than to study something about biology.
No, we can break down blood though on the radio and pretend like we know what we're talking about and all that, right? No, maybe not. All right, but anyway, listen. So the Bruins are, what I'm trying to say here is they're in really good shape, right? The Bruins, you know that. Joe knows. Everyone knows that. Now being at home and all that. And no team has won 2 in a row. That's the only caveat for the Bruins here is that in this series, it has been a case where you don't win 2 in a row. You win game 1, you lose game 2, back and forth. And so nobody has been able to win 2 in a row. It's only 6 games, right? And so the Bruins need to break that or else they are going to be on a nice vacation starting on Wednesday. They'll be on vacation. So let's discuss here. I'm going to attempt to do this. Now, the question, and this has been the question that's been kicked around by many today, and I am not one to leave this aside and say I'm going to ignore the big story of the day here. The question when you get to a Game 7, it is essentially formatic, right? It's paint by numbers, right? You ask the question leading into a Game 7, who has more on the line, who has more to lose in a Game 7, in this case between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, and I do not want you to be a coward. See, the coward's way out is to be in the middle of the road and say, it's no big deal. I'm going to play it right in the middle of the road there, and both teams have the same amount of pressure. No, you have to pick a side, okay? You have to pick a side. You either got to go with the Bruins or the Maple Leafs. Now, I know the history of the Maple Leafs, even though, again, not a hockey guy. I do know the recent history, which isn't even that recent. It goes back certainly the last 15 years, probably the last 50 years for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But this one is not that hard. And so you shouldn't have to take the coward's road and say, both teams have... No, it's actually the Bruins here. Despite the Toronto Maple Leafs problems here, to me, this is an open and shut case. And I'm going to tell you why I believe it's the Bruins that have more pressure in this Game 7 on Tuesday night. So my thoughts, you've got pseudoscience, the War Tribunal, and TTF. Yeah, those three things. We'll put all this into a casserole. We'll bake it for about 15 minutes, and we'll see what comes out when we take it out of the oven. We'll see how this all turns out. Now, the Bruins, unless I'm completely off base here, they were favored to win the series when it started. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. They have the home ice advantage. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. Are they favored to win? Are they the gambling favorite in the game on Tuesday night? Yes, they are. That is correct. All this is correct. Home teams are supposed to win Game 7 in any sport. Is that correct? Yes, historically, that is how it's gone. Now, the only thing is you know what happens when you assume. Now, I will tell you that while the Garden is going to be a pit of vipers and all that, just because you have home ice, you don't just roll the puck out or slide the puck out, and all of a sudden, obviously you don't guarantee anything you're going to win the game. Should the Bruins, though, here's my theory on this. If the Bruins can come out and assert themselves early, this will be a monsoon of goals for the Bruins. They'll win by 3 or 4 goals going away. Now, we've seen in these recent Game 7s with Toronto, which go back to last 5, 6 years here that it's been the Maple Leafs that have had the lead, and the Bruins have been the team that has come back, and they've had an avalanche of goals. But if the script flips in this particular game, let's assume that happens, and the Bruins come out here and jump all over the Maple Leafs, I am going to say it is more likely than not that Toronto will submit. That is human nature, right? It is also, it's been proven, and I read a lot of these dopey studies because that's how I roll. I like these dopey studies, but I've read enough about officiating through the pseudoscience that in a playoff environment, and just in the regular season, but in playoffs in general, more so, it's amplified in the playoffs than it is the regular season. The pseudoscience says that 50-50 calls go to the home team, that the officials side with the home team. Now, the studies that I read, why is that? I'll tell you. The studies indicate, and these are studies done by universities, multiple studies, study done in the UK as well, not just in the United States. So it's a global phenomena. And they've determined that it is unintentional, simple human psychology, that because the officials are being influenced by the emotion of other human beings passionately approving of their calls in the stands, that the research shows that the home advantage increases by 1% for every 1,000 people in attendance. So let's do some Maller math on this. What does that mean? That means that the Bruins, we assume it's sold out, right? Everyone will be in the arena, that 17,565 fans will pack the Garden. So that means that going into this game, the Bruins have a 17.5% advantage with the referees, almost a 20% advantage based on the pseudoscience of these dopey studies that have been done over the last 15 or 20 years about officiating. Now, furthermore, this is a brass ring opportunity for the Bruins. The biggest roadblock in the Eastern Conference, if you were to analyze this and know very little about hockey like I do, for the Bruins, the biggest roadblock appeared to be the Roman Empire, the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay had all the gaudy offensive numbers. They had all the big statistics offensively. They had one of the historical seasons in NHL history. And they're already dead. They're gone. They've been jettisoned from the playoffs by Columbus. So this now becomes the path of least resistance for the Bruins. Should they blow this in Game 7, right, then it's a case of turning gold into lead, right, that nuclear transmutation. You're turning gold into lead. This is a roster for the Bruins, which is not completely old, but is showing some wear and tear. And this is an opportunity for them to squeeze on in the Eastern Conference. And you're like, okay, if Tampa's out, and now you get through Toronto, and you've got that game at home in Game 7, and then you have an opportunity with Columbus, who is not as talented as the Bruins are, that's a pretty good spot to be in. Now, part B of this, the fact that the pendulum of pressure is squarely on the Maple Leafs does not mean that Toronto is going to be loosey-goosey and all that stuff. Because the one thing I do know about the mindset, I used to do some radio stuff in Toronto years ago, and they haven't won since. They didn't win when I did that stuff on the big sports station in Toronto years ago. I did some baseball stuff for them. But you know the drill, right? Even the simpleton knows the X, Y's, and Z's of this. When you play hockey in Canada and you do not win, you are going to have hell to pay. And considering the recent examples of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs here against the Bruins, and a closeout game, whoever the fall guy is, whoever the scapegoat is for the Maple Leafs, is going to face a war tribunal, all right? The equivalent of that for losing a hockey game. And if, you go to the war tribunal, you could get that firing squad, right? If you blow the game here, unless that's slightly embellished. Okay, Now, John Tavares, if you were to circle one particular player in this game, and it's not a Bruin, it's John Tavares here in particular, who needs to find a way to come out victorious here. He is the headliner. He was the big free agent pickup in the offseason for the Maple Leafs, and with much fanfare, a much ballyhooed addition to Toronto, and his old team, the Islanders here, have already advanced. They're into the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, so if the Leafs were to stumble against the Bruins, and they are the underdog in Game 7, then it gets ugly. The natives get restless and all that, and you stack on top of that that the Maple Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup in over 50 years, I believe it is now. I think it's up to 50, over 50 years now. And they have been abject failures, absolute abject failures for a very long time. Utter incompetence is another way of describing it in the playoffs. Haven't won a playoff series, I think it's in, I read it earlier, it was like 15 years or something like that. The Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series. All right, last thing on this. All right, we'll take some phone calls here in a moment. The last thing here, now history is not going to play in it. I read this long, wordy story from some hockey historians as I was getting ready for the show tonight. They were waxing poetic. They're preaching about the recent games that the Bruins have won and how the Bees have haunted the Maple Leafs. They brought up the 2013 game. And the Leafs led by 3 goals at one point in that game, and then they vanished. They incinerated themselves. And they lost in overtime. And then last year, in the game, you know, the Maple Leafs, again, heading into the final period, they had a goal lead in that game. They ended up losing by 3 goals. The Bruins completely poleaxed the Maple Leafs in that game. Now, all of that has one thing in common. The 2013 game and the game was last year as well, the game 7 last year. It's all prologue. All of it is probably only one Toronto player, from what I read from that 2013 collapse, is still in uniform. One, Jake Gardner, that's it. There's another player, but he's been suspended. There are 5 Bruins who are left, 5 players on the Bruins who were around in 2013, and those are some guys that are the core of the team, that have been around and been the brick and mortar of the Bruins over the last run in this stretch with Zdeno Chara, Tuukka Rask, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and Krejci are all still around. But I love the pressure cooker. See, who doesn't like this, right? It's a hazardous situation, a game 7. It's like playing Russian roulette, and you know that one of these teams and some of these players are going to be in agony and be crucified if they should not get it done in game number 7 here. And you either embrace it or your intestines eat the inside of you. And it's disgusting. You just fall apart. And very few have the ability to remain calm and controlled in a game 7 environment. Remember last year, the Celtics in game 7 against Cleveland, there were several players that completely imploded. The moment was too big. They couldn't handle the situation. They didn't play calm basketball in that game, and you know, different sport and all that stuff in hockey. But there's a lot of guys that'll be squeezing those hockey sticks a little bit tighter, just a little bit tighter in the game, trying to squeeze some nickels out of those hockey sticks. And as I always say, in a game 7 situation, you have to watch out for what I call the TTF, the tight tuchus syndrome, which is a real deal. And who is going to crack under the pressure of the tight tuchus syndrome? Some of these guys are going to need a defibrillator by the time that particular game ends. All right, it is Ben Maller and you. We are yapping away. Thanks to Evan Drellick for ending his show early, giving me much more airtime, which I appreciate by Drellick not doing his full allotment of time. It was a nice gift, and it's always good to come in here and get an extra bonus gift. All right, by the way, the Bucks, who were trailing by, I think they were down by as many as 12 points in the first half. I got the Bucks game up, and it looks like things have stabilized there in Detroit, in the downtown Detroit region, because the Milwaukee Bucks have come back, and they're in the fourth quarter now, and Milwaukee is in pretty good shape in that series. The Bucks have opened up a double-digit lead. They're up by 10. There's 9 minutes to go in the game, and Giannis Antetokounmpo throwing her down. He's got 33 points and 7 rebounds to lead the way for Milwaukee. And the Pistons, who were looking so good in the first half, the problem is they had to play the second half. And they've pooped the bed in the second half, and especially in the third quarter. The Milwaukee Bucks came out, went turbo time in the third quarter. Antetokounmpo had 16 points in the third quarter. That also is the margin that the Pistons are being outscored by. The Bucks outscoring the Pistons by 16 points in that third quarter. So it's in the fourth quarter now, and the Milwaukee Bucks up by 10 points. Not bad. Not bad. All right, we'll take some phone calls. If you would like to be part, the number, and we have not changed the number. You should know the number. You should have it memorized. The number is 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. We're also available on the Magic Twitter machine, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can be part of the show that way. Now, I want to change gears a little bit. I want to talk about the Bruins here, but there's something else that popped up on my radar, and I wanted to mention it here because it involves the stock market, and it's a bit of a non sequitur because I just did a Maller monologue about the Bruins, but just engage me in this here because I play the stock market a little bit, not too much. But the story going around is involving an NFL quarterback and his gift to his offensive lineman. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Russell Wilson, who just became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, signed that massive $140 million contract, which the Seahawks are a bunch of boobs for handing out. They didn't have to do that, but that's a different conversation. Anyway. So Russell Wilson, I'm sure that he didn't intentionally leak this at all, just the great reporting by TMZ, but TMZ had the story that Russell Wilson, as is the tradition, when you sign a big contract, you are supposed to reward your offensive lineman. That is the standard passed down from generation tradition in the NFL. When Tom Brady gets a new contract, you pay the offensive line with the Patriots. When Russell Wilson gets a new contract, you got to take care of the offensive lineman in Seattle. So what did Russell Wilson do? Well, it does involve stock. Typically, in the past, what you do is you buy someone like a television. You buy the offensive lineman a television, but you know, TV is not as popular these days. Maybe you buy him a computer. You could do that. An Apple Watch, some kind of new technology thing. But no, Russell Wilson has decided to thank his offensive lineman with stock from Amazon. Not just a little bit of stock. How about $12,000 worth of stock options? Now, if you know anything about the stock market, you know that Amazon is the most expensive stock on the market. That it's the gold standard for stock right now. They are number one. It is ginormous. And the stock price, to give you an idea, today, if you wanted to buy, and I know the market's closed and all that, but if you wanted to buy a share, one share of Amazon stock, it would cost you almost $2,000. Here's the price at the closing of the stock market today. $1,887.31 for one share of Amazon stock. So that means $12,000 per player. Russell Wilson only actually purchased about 6 shares of Amazon stock. And they tell you not to buy stock when it's the most expensive. That's not, you're supposed to buy it when it plateaus, not when it's at the very top of the market. But clearly, Russell Wilson's like, whatever. Dropped $153,000 on Amazon side. Do they give you a deal? Like on Amazon, if you buy a bunch of stuff, they throw other stuff in. I'm guessing the stock market, that doesn't work that way, right? No, it does not. All right, we'll take some calls here. Talking about the Bruins, 617 877-977-9337. That's 617-779-7937. Also available on Twitter, again, at Ben Maller. We're going to talk about the Canine Club. We're going to get to that, and we will do it next. But first, you know what time it is, right? Let's find out what the heck is going on.
Going forward, experience matters. Again, I think it's still about effort and execution. I don't doubt either team will lack effort. I thought our execution was excellent yesterday, particularly in our breakouts. We were much more assertive with our forecheck, discipline, power play, obviously recovered pucks, penalty kill, got the clears. So I think it comes down to execution as much as anything. And what, you know, why do you execute some days better than others? Could be nerves tomorrow. Hopefully they're gone in a hurry for our younger guys. I imagine everybody would be a little bit, have some level of butterflies, even the older guys. But once the puck drops, they've been there.
Well, no butterflies here, though. We don't have any butterflies. We're good. So Bruce Cassidy there in the lead up to Game 7. Game 7 of the opening round of the playoffs there, the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. Now, there's something else that Cassidy said that was just wonderful. That was great. And that would be the Canine Club, which is what I teased here. If you tease, you got to pay it off as we talk here on late night. So Bruce Cassidy, one of the other things he said, this is, to me, the most amusing thing. He was asked about whether or not the Bruins are going to change anything, as he referenced there in that soundbite that Joe played, Joe Cortez, our producer there, that the butterfly, right, the butterflies in your stomach and all that stuff, and oh, man, the cliche of a Game 7 and choking, and it's very straightforward, right? The team that chokes is going to lose. The team that doesn't choke is going to win. But a lot of times people try to put a facade up, like this false appearance, right? They have the exterior of someone who is not concerned about the moment, but then you find out once the game actually gets underway that is often deceptive, and it's this veneer which is not actually accurate. But anyway, get to the point, please. So Bruce Cassidy, the Bruins coach, said he does not plan on changing pretty much anything in the lead up to Game 7. Now, why is that?
Mind tricks.
No, Joe. He said, this is great. He said that his players, the guys on the Bruins, are like dogs. He said they're a bit like dogs. He said they love routines, especially on game days, he said. So the plan is to not change anything. See, it that's one of those things. In the politically correct world that we live in, if you said in certain sports your players are dogs, there'd be people protesting. Hockey players seem to embrace being called dogs, right? Am I correct on that, Joe, that this is not going to be offensive to anyone? The hockey players will be okay with this, the whole dog thing? I think so. I think that's, yeah. Now, I'm not only a creature of the night, I'm also a creature of habit. I think most people are. Aren't that's just like humans are wired, right? I mean, we are creatures of habit. We have a routine, and you get up, you brush your teeth, you stare at the mirror, whatever, you take a shower. Maybe you have breakfast, maybe you don't have breakfast. I don't think that's that outrageous, though. That's just kind of standard operating procedure.
That's the normal.
Right?
He wants to be normal.
Yeah. So what should he do? What should the Bruins do to shake it up then, Joe? What do you advise? Maybe going like a
I think they just got to play the way they've been playing. They've been playing great. And, I mean, Tuukka, for all the haters out there, he's been fantastic. Like, the only thing that they've been, like, failing to do is sometimes on their forecheck they haven't been able to get to it. But when they play head-to-head with these guys, they're there to win. I mean, they're going to take it.
Your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10, Joe, for the Bruins in Game 7?
3.
Only a 3?
Yep.
It's Game 7, though, Joe.
Yeah, but, you know, history, it tends to repeat itself.
Yeah, it does, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. All right. Anyway, meanwhile, now speaking of the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, I actually watched some of Game 6, and I did notice, like everyone else that was watching Game 6, that watched the NBC sports feed there, the guy with the giant head, the Maple Leafs fan, who at several key moments in Game 6, you saw the net, you saw the Bruins were playing defense, I believe, and there were, you know, Maple Leafs had the puck, and you could see the back of this Maple Leafs fan standing up, and we now have an answer to the riddle of the large noggin mystery from Game 6, which became a viral sensation because it's, you know, do-or-die game for the Bruins, and a large portion of the boob tube was covered up by a guy's head that was in the crowd watching the game. So what happened? Well, there was some investigation done, and they discovered this is from a spokesperson at NBC Sports. They claimed they had technical difficulties that prevented them from using the main camera location that they had at the arena in Toronto, and it was towards the end of the game, and so they had to use a backup camera position for a, quote, slightly different perspective, like to see how much dandruff the guy had wearing the Maple Leaf sweater, so there you go. Now, this is great. Now, this was my theory. I talked about this on my overnight show last night. This is what my theory here was, that there was some kind of issue with the camera spot, because these arenas are built, every arena built the last 25, 30 years has been built with television in mind, right? They want television lined up perfect. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about television and all that stuff. And it's amusing, though. No one said, hey, you might want to sit down there because your head is blocking millions of people, conceivably, who are trying to watch the game. Trying to watch the game.
I thought the guy was just like 6'8 and just happened to be next to short people.
That was your theory?
That was my theory up until you said that.
Yeah. No, the guy, he didn't look that tall to me. He had a nice head of hair, though.
Oh, yeah. Now he's all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Mainstream.
I like, too, Joe, you see what they're doing? They've taken that guy from the Maple Leafs game, and they're putting him in different historical moments in NHL history. And not just hockey. They're moving him to other areas as well.
Yeah, John Anderson, I'm pretty sure, posted right before the Game of Thrones, he photoshopped his head into the front of the opening scene.
See, it's perfect right there. See, there you go. Outstanding. All right, anyway, the Pistons game with the Bucks almost over. It's in the final minutes of that game, and so we will get no extra game there. If you were hoping this for the Celtics here, that they were going to have an extra game, the Bucks, to wear them out, that is not going to happen. It will be the Milwaukee Bucks in a sweeparoo of the Detroit Pistons. They have taken a can of whoop-ass to the Pistons in the second half. At this moment, outscoring Detroit 69-40. In the second half. That is insane. An insane run here for the Milwaukee Bucks. And that will set up starting on Sunday. Because the NBA, one thing the NBA likes to do is they like to not have any downtime. They like to just come right back and play right away. And congratulations to the Pistons tonight, who became the new standard bearer for incompetence. In the NBA, the Detroit Pistons now have set the new record for most consecutive playoff losses, breaking the record by who? By the New York Knicks. The Knicks record, though, is still active, so if the Knicks ever actually get back to the playoffs, they can end up adding on to that record. But the Pistons now, the new record holder, once that game is final, there's a minute to go in the game, and the Milwaukee Bucks up 127-104. We are on Twitter at Ben Maller. If you'd like to be part, that's at Ben Maller. You can join the festivities. Our friend Chris, Legally Blind Chris, a senior member of the Maller Militia, says the Pistons now setting the record, 14 straight losses in the playoffs. And he's a Michigan guy listening on the radio.com app, and he's complaining about his miserable lot in life. Yeah, but you know, you have worse problems than that. I think you're okay. Not the worst of the worst, as they say. Whoever they are, happen to be. All right. Meanwhile, straight ahead, here we have the Who Am I game, continuing the theme of the hour. The Who Am I game. This is where we pretending to be somebody else. Here's the Who Am I game. So Zdeno Chara when he takes the ice in game number 7, right, when he goes out there and takes the ice in game number 7, he will tie former Capitals and Devils star Scott Stevens and my NHL record by appearing in his 13th game 7 of his career. Who am I? Again, the question. And do not call for this, but you can answer it on Twitter if you want, at Ben Maller. Here it is. So Zdeno Chara, when he takes the ice on Tuesday night, he will tie former Capitals and Devils star Scott Stevens and my NHL record by appearing in his 13th Game 7 of his long and illustrious career with the Bruins. Who am I? That's the question. The answer, and we'll take some calls as well. We'll do it all, and we will do it next.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? Well, as all the players are saying, first 6 games don't mean anything. The only thing that matters is game 7.
Only one Boston sports station that's live and local until 2 a.m. This one. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Live, local, and in your eardrums as we continue on. Red Sox rained out today, so you got the full Monty. No Red Sox review. We can't review a game that didn't happen. Should we review the weather? Should we talk about the weather? No, I don't think so. I think we're good on that. All right, time now for the Who Am I game, and here we go. So where I pretend to be somebody else. Tuesday night, when Zdeno Chara takes the ice with the Bruins, he will tie former Capitals and Devils star Scott Stevens and my NHL record by appearing in his 13th Game 7 of his career. Who am I? That's the question. What's the answer? And some of the answers coming in. Let's see. Who do we have here? Martin Pierre Brodeur, guessed by Tony. Terry in England is going with Russell Wilson's sleep number bed. That's his answer. Nick in New Hampshire checks in with Al McGinnis, the most lethal slap shot in the history of hockey. Rob in Vegas says it's Special Olympics beast mode style. It's a great homage to our friend Blair in Maine, a fine-tuned professional athlete who... He's going to have to cut back, Blair, on calling all these radio shows because he's getting ready for the Olympics in Maine in a little bit. So he doesn't have as much time to practice. The correct answer, nobody got it right. Do you know the answer, Joe? Do you know the answer to this?
No, I could not tell you.
You do not know the answer. All right, the correct answer, when Zdeno Chara takes the ice, he will tie former Capitals and Devils star Scott Stevens and my NHL record by appearing in his 13th Game 7 of his career. Who am I? That would be Patrick Waugh, the old Canadiens and Colorado Avalanche goaltender who also appeared in 13 Game 7. Some other fun facts. It's all about the fun facts on the radio, right? You need the fun facts. Zdeno Chara, in 12 Game 7s up until Tuesday night, his team, a 5-7 record with him in Game 7, 5-7, and he's got a total of 4 assists in those Game 7, lost to the Devils, the Maple Leafs in 04, believe it or not, yeah, it was part of that. They lost in 04. The Canadiens in 08, the Hurricanes in 09, the Flyers in 2010, the Capitals and the Montreal Canadiens in 2014. And the wins in 2011, the Bruins, 3 Game 7 wins in 2011. They also, the 2 against the Maple Leafs in 2013 and 2018. But anyway, so that's the answer. Zdeno Chara is going to join Scott Stevens and Patrick Waugh atop the list. I know you're excited about that. Don't lie to me. Do not lie. I know you're excited. All right, meanwhile, I want to shift over to the NBA. So that game has gone final tonight. And the hyperbole about the Milwaukee Bucks as they get set to take on the Celtics. First time the Bucks have won a playoff series since 2001. Are you fearing the deer? That's the slogan of the Bucks. You got to fear the deer. Is anyone fearing the deer? Reggie Miller he's all over. Reggie Miller thinks that the Bucks fans are going to the airport to greet their team like conquering heroes for beating the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to go no on that. But I do love incompetence in basketball. And the Celtics go into this series, and look at a guy like Brook Lopez, who was not part of the Milwaukee Bucks last year. Brook Lopez played very well. But is it really a case of where Brook Lopez played well and the Celtics have to key in on Brook Lopez, who stands out shooting three-pointers? Or is it more a case of Andre Drummond being a complete disaster for the Detroit Pistons? I don't know if you saw any of this series, if you're doing some scouting for the Celtics, but Andre Drummond finishes the series with a plus-minus minus 96, which means while he was on the court, the Detroit Pistons were outscored by 96 points by the Milwaukee Bucks. That is dead last in the entire NBA playoffs. That is a bona fide poop show for a single player. I know it's only a small group of games and all that, but minus 96 for Andre Drummond. That's the kind of stank that's going to follow you around. That's the kind of stank that's going to follow you around. And they're already putting the numbers up on the Bucks-Celtics. They've wasted no time on round two. Why do you waste time? You got to get that early money. You got to get that early money. People asking the question already, will the Bucks-Celtics series go seven games? Similar to last year, Bucks-Celtics went seven games, and the Celtics were able to take advantage of home court and win that last year. I am going to go on a limb and say it does not go seven games. I don't think it's going to go seven. Seven-game series are pretty rare, right? And but anyway, so that's the story. So the Celtics and Bucks last year went all the way to the game seven. Now it's a different deal. We'll talk more about this later. But you got Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, who did not play last year, right? They were out the whole thing. We know the whole story with Jaylen Brown and the other players, Jason Tatum, rising on up for the Celtics. But Milwaukee's also improved their roster. They've upgraded their roster with Brook Lopez and some of the other players. Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing much better for Milwaukee. Let's just put it this way. When I look at the Milwaukee Bucks and all the wins they put up and all that wonderful regular season and all that, it does not look like the immovable object. You know what I'm saying? This is not the immovable object here where you can't get past them. There is a path, if the Celtics can find it here and expedite the process or process, as they say. There is a road there for the Celtics to get into the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not like the Bucks are this raging bull here. The Pistons are just a hot mess. That was a mop-up situation. Just like I don't give the Celtics much credit for beating Indiana, because Indiana's... like dial-up internet, right? You don't get excited about dial-up internet. It's outdated and all. The Indiana Pacers without Victor Oladipo, with him not in the lineup, they're not much of anything, right? And so you don't get excited about that. Just like you don't get, if you're someone that follows the Milwaukee Bucks, you don't get excited about the beating of the Pistons, because the Pistons are not a good team. Yeah, they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs the final couple of days of the regular season. They squeezed in to the postseason. But let's not get carried away with it. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. All right, we'll take some calls here. The number 617-779-7937. I get a lot of guys that call in listening on the radio.com app from Florida, and I have become obsessed in the last couple of weeks. I don't think I've mentioned this on the air, but I love Florida man stories. I now go out of my way. I have found myself, I don't know if you do the same thing. When I'm looking for interesting things to discuss or just to like share with my friends, sometimes I don't even use this stuff. Oftentimes I don't use this stuff on the radio. But I love stories about people from Florida. Just all you have to do is type in like Florida man on social media, and there's a million things that come up. For example, today, the story, and this is going all over the place. You probably saw this if you're on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You probably saw this. But if you haven't, you've got to find this story. You are going to laugh your ass off. If you had a busy day at work and you're kind of stressed out, you got stuff going on in your life, it's a rainy day and all that, You've got to find the video from Orlando about the Florida man who was in a bunny suit. This is on Easter. The guy's dressed up as the Easter bunny, and he's just outside some restaurant in Orlando. I don't know if you saw this, Joe, but this guy's dressed up like the Easter bunny on Easter Sunday, and there's this domestic dispute that's going on. This woman and man are getting into a Donnybrook right on the street there in Orlando, and the Easter bunny comes to the rescue and starts throwing punches. Right? The woman's like dragging the guy. The guy's holding on to the woman, and the Easter bunny comes over, and he then kind of pushes the guy away there. They're tussling, and then the guy, the Easter bunny, starts unloading right-left combo punches and drags the guy, punches the guy right in the face and the back of the head.
Only in Florida, man.
It's awesome. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm
going to
send you the video, Joe. I'm going to send you the video. It's awesome. And then finally, eventually, some like Orlando police officer came over. But is that is the most perfect Florida story. On Easter Sunday, I think this happened on Easter Sunday, the Easter bunny comes over to the rescue. And then the funniest part about it, after the guy's throwing punches at this guy in the street in Orlando, the Easter bunny then... he gets a slap on the back from some guy that was with him, and then he kind of shadow boxes. You know how that when boxers get in the ring before like a big heavyweight fight, they throw some air punches? The Easter Bunny is just standing there, and he's throwing some air punches, like he's shadow boxing. It was awesome. I probably shouldn't have spent that much time on it, but it's hilarious. You got to find it. If you've not seen it, man, I'm telling you. It's great. You got to love the Easter Bunny. Hopping mad. Hopping mad. Don't mess with the Easter Bunny.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.